Our gospel reading this morning comes from John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 and 12 through 26. Please listen for the word of God. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas of Simon Iscariot to betray Jesus. And during the supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." And after Jesus had washed their feet, he put his robe on and returned to the table. And he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet as well. For I have set for you an example, that you should also do as I have done to one another. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you, but I know whom I have chosen. But it is to fulfill the scriptures that the one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it occurs you may believe that I am he who God has sent. Very truly I tell you, whoever receives one whom I receive also receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit, and he declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. And one of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he said, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus said, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread, which I have dipped into the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Feeding the soul. Communion is a meal that we share with one another, with the community of God. It's not a meal that we share with each other because it satisfies our physical hunger. It's a meal that we share because it satisfies our spiritual hunger. It's something that we do to feed our souls, to make ourselves feel the connection that we have with God and with one another by sharing this ritual that Jesus instituted with his disciples so long ago. And on World Communion Sunday, it's something that we emphasize that all believers are doing, perhaps not at this exact moment, but sometime today, all believers are sharing in communion throughout the world. It helps us to remember that we're not alone in anything that we do, not only because God is always with us, but also because we are always surrounded by other believers. We may not always see them, we may not recognize them when we see them, but we do, in fact, have that comfort in knowing that we are never alone. And what Paul is telling us in the reading that Pat shared with us is she's giving us the brief summary of how this whole meal started and what it is that we're doing and why we're doing it. Do this in remembrance of me. And we are to do it until Christ comes again in glory. The supper that they shared that first night, that Monday, Thursday, is what helps us to realize that this is a nourishment for our souls. This wasn't only something that Jesus instituted for the disciples because he wanted them to feel the connection. It was because in his humanity, he also needed to feel the connection. He needed to be in communion literally with them because he knew what was about to happen. He knew the suffering that was soon to follow. The disciples didn't know and didn't fully understand because, as you've heard time and time again, they were never quite on the same page that he was on when he was trying to tell them what was to come. So this meal that we're sharing again now reminds us not only of our covenant relationships with God and with one another, but it reminds us of that first Lord's Supper that was shared with the disciples. Most of the time when we think of communion, we think of it in terms of receiving the bread and the cup, and we do it once a month because that's our ritual in the Presbyterian Church, in most Protestant churches. But we want to remember what else lies beneath that and behind it. What's the reason for what it is that we're doing? The nourishment that we get, not only from the meal, but from our shared worship and praise of God. And in the scripture verses that follow what Pat read for us, Paul is telling that church at Corinth that you cannot be doing this in an unholy way. You cannot receive communion if you're doing it based on something that's for your own needs and not for the needs of the church universal and for God, for your relationship with one another. Because the church at that time would actually sit down together for a meal, and it was a potluck meal. Okay, everyone would bring something with them to the table, and those that were well off brought the best food that they had, and those that were not well off brought whatever it was that they could scrape together to the table. And the point that Paul is making for the church at that time is it was not communion because they were not sharing that food. The people that brought the best food were eating the best food. And they were leaving those who barely were able to bring enough to eat what was barely enough for them. And he made a point of emphasizing that that was not the intent that Jesus had. We were supposed to be sharing this together and sharing who we are and what we have with one another. If we do that now, even though it's not a potluck, the church has provided for us what it is that we need. But in spirit right now, we're going to hopefully feel the same thing in a short amount of time. We're going to feel the communion that Jesus felt with his disciples and that we will feel with one another and with the church universal. Think about that as we're sharing this meal later. As you're taking that bread and eating it individually, and then when we're taking the cup together, we are not just taking it here together in this sanctuary, but with churches throughout the world. People that are less well off should be able to share what it is that we have. The first thing that always follows the word of God is the taking of the collection. When we bring our offerings and our tithes to the table, and in some churches they actually do that. After the collection is taken, and they bring the plates up, and they put them on the table so that the gifts of God for the people of God are on the same table as the gifts that the people are sharing back with God. We don't do that here in symbolism, but we do it in spirit, because everything that we're giving back is going back to God. So think about the bread that we're about to share and the cup that we're about to share and what that means to you in your own hunger. What places in your soul right now need nourishment? What places in your heart are empty and need to be filled with something that you can't quite put your finger on, you can't quite find on your own? It can be filled here, that vacancy. The empty places in your soul can be filled here, not only by God's presence in this worship, but by the sharing of the Lord's Supper. In 2012, there was an article that Peter Marty wrote in something called the Lutheran Magazine, and he was writing about an instance that Viktor Frankl shared when he was in the Nazi concentration camps. He was at the end of his rope from the deprivation. There was not enough food, not enough water. Some people were dying just of food and hunger. Some were hallucinating. They just could not take another step because they were so hungry. And at that point, we're told that when Viktor Frankl had lost every single possession and every value that he held was destroyed, someone gave him a piece of bread. And Frankl wrote, and I quote, "I remember how a foreman secretly gave me a piece of bread, which I knew he must have saved from his breakfast ration. It was far more than the small piece of bread which moved me to tears at that time. It was the human something this man also gave me, the word and the look which accompanied the gift." Marty's comments that follow that quote are, "Keep on the lookout for that human something. The next time you break bread with another person, their words may offer more nutrients than the bread in your hand. Their look may open the very eyes of your heart, and it might as well be a small taste of the first Emmaus." You remember the story from Emmaus when the two were walking along the road and Jesus joined them, and at first they did not know who he was. But if you remember, the story tells us that he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. We are also made known to one another in the breaking of that bread. All of our human individuality falls away. All of the things that make us different, whatever our differences may be, fall away. And the one common bond, the common denominator that we share, our Christian faith and our love of God, comes out in the breaking of this bread. And Paul is telling us in his reading that we can't miss that. The whole point of the Lord's Supper is that we are made known to one another and that God is made known to us in the breaking of that bread. So as you think about the things for which you are hungry, the things that you need, present them to God in prayer. And be aware and conscious of what the people around you need. Not just the physical food and the housing and the clothing, but the things, the looks and the smiles and the greetings that other people need so that they know that we value them as people. The people that you're sharing a pew with, the people you'll see in the grocery store later, whoever that might be. And once Paul has described that institution of the Lord's Supper, he remembers to tell them that we're to do this until the Lord comes again in glory, that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are to remember that he is to return and he will bring us back the portions of what he created for us in this lifetime. So we don't always celebrate the things that we need to celebrate. We grieve and bemoan and complain about lots of other things, but we need to remember to celebrate everything that God has given us to celebrate as well. So when we come together as a family of faith, we remember that we wait for one another, which is also something the people at Corinth did not do. They just ate whenever they got there. Hopefully there was stuff left for the people who came later, but maybe not. We do this together. We wait for one another because we're on the journey together. The Christian experience was never meant to be a solitary one. We don't walk alone. We don't pray alone. We don't live alone. And we don't suffer and rejoice alone. We're supposed to be doing it in covenant relationships with one another. And the church is not a solitary church. It is part of the church universal throughout the world. And it's something that we should be remembering other than just on World Communion Sunday, about the family that we are. So what nourishment is there in the community, in the congregation, in your own families, when the choir comes to practice, when the scouts get together, when the youth get together, when the prayer shawl ministry gets together? There's a nourishment there that's happening that is feeding your soul. And it's something that we are called to share with one another. The church is based on that love and on that relationship with God and with one another. That whole spiritual experience is something that we are going to share now at communion, and that we're going to take with us when we leave this building, this house of God, and share it with others throughout the world. This communion is a common meal, but there's nothing common about it. It's the most special meal you will ever share in your entire life. It has the most nourishment of any meal that you will ever have. And it will feed you in a way that physical food cannot feed you. And it's so important for us to remember that. And we do it at home, and we do it here, we do it everywhere we can in our lives. Because when it comes to a life of faith, we're supposed to be dining and living and praying among others. So when we gather together at the Lord's table, we're going to receive something that we can't receive home alone, because it's something that comes through the unity of our discipleship. So let's remember, as we share the meal, to put ourselves in that somber mood of the Maundy Thursday meal that Christ shared, because one of the most important messages that we hear about this meal is about how we need it for the journey. Jesus needed it for his journey. He left it with the disciples for their journey. And they have shared it on forward with us from what they learned from Christ. And we are called to do the same thing for others, to share that meal, to share the nourishment, so that as we go forward, our fellowship is full of love and grace and companionship, right? For French, anybody? Because I know I don't speak French, but I do remember learning this. Compagnon, with bread, right? Who said that? Somebody just, I shouldn't put you on the spot because you're not going to repeat it, are you? No. Compagnon. We're going to do it with bread, and we're going to be companions to one another. So just as we remember to do that today, we'll remember to do it throughout the week and every time we sit down to share the blessings of this table, so that it nourishes us and others, body, mind, and spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.